Good evening. So, what does it mean to watch? What does it mean to watch? Let's turn in our Bible straight away to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. This is, of course, part of the Olivet Discourse. We're not going to read the whole chapter. I will be referring to different segments of it. But for our instruction and lesson, we'll read from verse 36 to 51. Verse 36 in Matthew 24. Jesus says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be left in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken in two. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So that's the Word of God. What does it mean to watch? Procrastination. Some of us are better at procrastinating than others, but it's a disease worldwide. I think most, if not all, of people procrastinate from time to time. It's a human experience common to most. We put off doing what we know we've got to do, and we wait until almost the last moment, and then panic, we've got to get it done. We didn't prepare ourselves properly. Some people have made procrastinating off to a T. They've got it just right. Students, for example, there's some students who they know they've got to end, but to put in a piece of coursework, to do a project. But what do? They go out clubbing most nights. They do anything but write their piece or whatever the project may be until 2 days before the deadline. Then they get it in. Men are notorious, those who buy Christmas presents for their loved ones, for those close to them. They think, there's something special about doing it on December the 24th. They've had plenty of time beforehand, but then come the December the 24th, wow, the shops will be shut at 4 o'clock. They procrastinated instead of getting their loved one a present earlier. For some reason, when we think that we have lots of time, it creates in us a feeling of laziness. It creates an inattention that can only, that we then find hard to snap out from. Jesus lived and walked to this earth just over 2,000 years ago. That's a long time ago. When Jesus was on the earth, One of the things he talked about to his close friends, to his disciples on more than one occasion, was the fact he was going to leave them. But then he would return. One day he would come back and set up his own kingdom. Another thing Jesus said to them, but that time no man knows. The day and the hour, no man knows when it will take place. And so, for 2,000 odd years now, believers have been, if you like, in a somewhat difficult position of having to live as if Jesus was coming back, but he hasn't come back. Each year passes, and he hasn't returned. But unlike the students, unlike the dad buying his presents, Jesus isn't procrastinating. Neither is the Father procrastinating. He's waiting until the right moment. But are we procrastinating? Is the church procrastinating? Are we getting on with our daily chores? And yes, coming to church and so on, without that expectancy, without that eagerly looking forward to when Jesus is going to return. Are we, like Peter had to tell his people off? He admonished them and he said, there will be scoffers in the last day. Where is his coming? It's now 2013. Jesus still has not come back, yet he said he would. So what should be our attitude as we do wait for the return of the Lord? What should we be doing? How should we be watching? What should we be watching for? Because I think every one of us in this room knows our Lord is coming back. Hallelujah. In the subject next month, we'll be looking at the reason why he's coming back. There's a glorious reason why Jesus is coming back. So I hope if he hasn't returned in the meantime, we will be here in a month's time on July the 6th. What should be our attitude? Well, here in Matthew 24 and 25, as we say, is the Olivet Discourse, and our Lord Jesus gives many signs that will precede his return. We, of course, have it also in Luke 21 and Mark 13. And our Lord Jesus Christ answers many questions that his disciples were asking. What should be the signs of his coming? So at the beginning of this sermon, Jesus and his disciples are sitting on the Mount of Olives and they will have a view of the temple. And the disciples are asking Jesus about the end of the age. And Jesus gives them signs to watch out for, which will precede and then herald his coming. One, of course, is there will be disasters in the world. There will be tragedies in the world. Widespread famine, revolutions, anarchy, earthquakes, lawlessness, rumours of war, wars, false Christ. And these signs are being fulfilled now in our generation. Disasters in the world. Another thing he said to look out for would be the developments that were going on in the church. One of the things he said was, you're going to be hated more and more for my sake. You will be persecuted as the coming of the Lord and as it hots up. False prophets, false teachers, false teaching. An adulterous generation going after signs and wonders rather than the word of God and allowing God to send the signs, the mighty signs and wonders following the proclamation of the preaching. But he also said, the gospel will have been completed. The mission will have been completed. So these signs are well underway. False teachers. False teachers seem to be engaged more with the culture than they are with Jesus Christ. They engage themselves more with the culture. And that is why it's a slippery slope. People like Rob Bell, for example, can now give his blessing to same-sex marriage. Because when you start going away from the truth, you're on a slippery slope. Unless you are convicted by the Holy Spirit, you repent and turn back. Jesus also talks, of course, about the upheavals in the Middle East. And there will be this blasphemous dictator. There will be a time of great distress. And this is yet to appear, although, of course, the Middle East has always been, if you like, a boiling cauldron. And then once the terrible events in the Middle East takes place and the false Christ, the dictator, appears, after tribulation we can expect darkness in the sky. Sun, moon, stars disappear. Sky-wide lightning. The coming of the Messiah. Of course, another sign that Jesus said look out for has already happened. What is that? Yes, Israel. Israel coming back. Hallelujah. Jesus said that there would be a re-establishment of the state of Israel. Hallelujah. And this gathering of the Jews to their own land is a clear sign in both the Old and the New Testaments that our age, this present age, is almost over. It's almost over. Look at Luke 21 and verse 24. It says, and they will fall by the edge of the sword, be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So back into our section in Matthew 24, he continues these passages, 24, with chapter 25, interesting enough. And we have a series of parables, don't we? A series of parables focusing on being ready for the King when he returns. The parables are focusing on, yes, stay alert, be ready. Jesus is coming back. Don't let him catch you napping. And in the parables, there is a phrase with similar words to this. He was a long time coming. He was a long time coming. Chapter 25, verse 5. But while in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. In verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The parable of the talents, verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. After a long time. Verse 21. His Lord said to him, the one with the 5 talents, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 23. It's the same with the one with the 2 talents. Gained 2 more talents. The Lord said, well done, Good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Jesus has not yet come back, but he is coming. The signs are there. He will soon return. Faithfulness is to be found amongst the believer. Faithfulness. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? Or will he find people in the church but following false Christ? Taken up with the world, just taken up with the culture, asleep, napping. So we do see, watch, a great need for faithfulness in the face of delay. And to keep alert. So back to chapter 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Mavis, could you get me a glass of water, please? Thank you. Thank you very much. Watch. The verb is gregario, the first meaning of which is to be awake. Be on watch. Be awake, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Again, it's used in the literal sense in verse 43, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. And the verb used here is in the tense of continuous action. Keep on watching. Stay alert all the time. Don't go off to sleep. Don't think, they said even in the first, second, third century, he's coming back, and we've had all of the false prophets say he's coming back in such and such a day, such and such a month, such and such a year. Well, I'll nap. I'll just do my own thing. I'll go through the motions. I go through the motions of Christianity. No, in the same way as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on! Keep on staying alert. Keep awake. It's like, you know, expression, keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. In 24 and 43, verse 43, notice, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. And verse 13 of chapter 25, which we've already read, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Watch, watch. So why did the Messiah, why did Jesus compare his return to an unexpected break-in? Well, firstly, I think he wants to catch Satan unawares. He wants to catch Satan unawares. Jesus wants to come back and claim that which is rightfully his. The context of this passage indicates that this returning is like a thief, but is also an admonition to his followers, to the believers, to remain spiritually alert. I guess those of you, like myself, who left your homes just now, you made sure it was locked. You made sure your windows were closed. We do these things, they're very practical, very necessary. But how much more we are to be spiritually alert. And so that we're watching for the Lord's return and we're not giving room for the enemy to take advantage over us. So that the context is, remain spiritually alert. In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, or verse 1 to 4. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. He's talking to the true church of Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul is also aware that these people, the followers of Jesus Christ, are surrounded by people who profess to be Christian, who are in the church, but they're in a dead church, and they themselves are dead. But you, don't be like that. Stay alive. You've been rescued out of darkness. You've been brought in the light. So don't go back to the darkness. Watch and be sober. We used to sing a hymn in the olden days. Watch, watch and be sober, ye children of God. I can't remember the rest. And it's probably just as well, because it was in the book I grew up with. But yeah, but we are to watch and be sober, you children of God. Because you belong to the King, and the King's coming back for you. One of the primary admonitions to his followers is to remain alert. Not be taken over by a thief. Many within the sleeping or dead church give the impression that they're simply waiting without any expectation for the Lord to return. And anyway, everything will work out just fine, won't it? No. Individually and churches, we must be alive to these days. Because they're also days of great opportunity. Hallelujah. But we are to redeem the time. See, in that passage in 1 Thessalonians and in others, the Apostle Paul compares being asleep as being a sinful state. We're in sin because we're not exercising faith in Jesus and doing his business his way until he returns. But 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 2 says, we're not in darkness. As we have been warned in advance, what to expect. Jesus says, as in the days of Noah. Jesus was referring to the indifference of the people in Noah's time to their coming disaster. They were indifferent. Noah was alert. He was awake. He had listened to the Lord. He knew disaster was coming. But the world and the Israelites were too concerned about the here and the now, trying to be like God, doing evil and wrong things. God saw the wickedness on the earth. But most didn't. They were consumed with the here and the now. Noah wasn't. Let's turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Verse 26, And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Nothing there evil. But on the day that Lot went out to Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so would it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, the other left. And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together." Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. What did Lot do? She hesitated. She looked back. She hesitated. She looked back. When Jesus Christ comes in his glory, we have a serious warning here. Some professing Christians, but who have become enraptured with the things of this life, their treasure actually is, their heart, their treasure is on things below and not on things above, will be taken away. They will have become hardened. They look back. They're not ready for Jesus. That's a solemn warning. That's a solemn warning. Don't set your hearts on the world. Don't become cold. Don't become callous. Remember Lot's wife. What does our Lord say to the church in Sardis? Revelation 3, verses 2 to 3. Revelation 3, verses 2 to 3. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Be watchful. As you're watching, strengthen. Make sure you're in the faith and be doing the will of God. Hallelujah. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, we've got it again, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Christ is returning, and to those who are not watching, it will be like a thief in the night. He is coming like this for those who are not on guard, who are not alert, who are not aware of the signs of the times. Still in Revelation, but chapter 16, and I'm sure in some future answers in prophecy, we'll be looking at some of these chapters in Revelation. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15, we will go into more depth. But here we have it again, the sixth bowl. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walks naked and they see his shame. So as born again believers, the call of God to us, to you and to me, is not to sleep, but to be on our guard. To be on our guard at all times as to the coming of the Messiah. We are to be aware of the signs of the times so that when he does return, we are on watch, we're on the alert. All people of God should live in readiness for the end to come. Whether it's the triumphant return of Jesus Christ or whether it's through sudden death, it will come suddenly. And it is important, isn't it, that each of us lives our lives that are pleasing to God and that we are ready to meet our Master. Matthew chapter 24 tells us, stay awake. Verses 4 to 8, it talks about, watch out, no one deceives you. Last month, in Answers in Prophecy, Philip spoke on the dangers of deception and how easily we can be taken in. Stay awake, stay awake. Study the Word. Be much in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And in verse 13 of our chapter 24 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, it says, he who endures to the end will be saved. Watch. Watch that your love doesn't grow cold. Watch so that we stand firm. You and I, we will stand firm to the end. And we will be saved. Hallelujah. See, there's no lack on God's side. He says, look, the work that I started in you, I'm going to complete it. I'm going to perform it. But you watch. You be obedient. Don't get slothful. Don't walk away. Don't fall back. Stay alert. And when you do feel yourself slipping back, repent quickly. And he will have his arms open wide to receive and say, okay, my child, I'm yours. I know it's tough. That's why I'm praying for you. I'm willing that you make it to the end because you're my bride. Hallelujah. So we must watch their love doesn't grow cold. And most in the professing church of Jesus Christ are not watching. They won't. If and when the big tribulation comes, I think their world's come to an end. They'd be unprepared. Weren't we going to be taken away? Watch. Watch. We need to store the promises of Scripture, this precious word in our heart, so that we remain faithful to the end, even if our lives are taken from us. And 24 verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Hallelujah. We are to watch because the warnings are that even the elect can be deceived. I believe God is separating the wheat from the chaff today. I believe already there's the separation of the sheep and the goats. I believe that the words of Jesus are becoming reality. Even some of the elect could be deceived. But for all God's faithful and true followers, I don't think that should be disconcerting or discouraging. Indeed, while we sorrow for those who've fallen into apostasy, that is, have rejected the true faith, rejected the biblical Jesus, we sorrow, we should pray for them and do what we can to bring them back. We are to rejoice because the day of our salvation draws near. Hallelujah. Glory be to his name. So while we watch and wait for the Lord to return, and as the coming of the Lord, the day of our salvation, becomes ever nearer, this knowledge should propel us, motivate us to do something which is very, very important. Two things. One, personal holiness. personal holiness. Without holiness, you cannot see God. It should propel us to holiness, but it also should propel us to participate in the gospel, in the proclamation of the gospel, in the gossiping of the gospel to those who have never heard, so that we may be God's instruments, getting his last remnant from every nation, from every tribe, every people, including Crawley and beyond. Watch, stay awake. The apostle in Romans chapter 13, familiar words, Romans 13 and verse 11. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. See, even in the early church, people were taken up with the cares of the world, everyday things, it was consuming them. He says, wake up, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. If it was true then, even more true today. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armour of light. And let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. There's a very good reason why we should watch and stay alert. Positively, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, yielding to his lordship, living in constant fellowship with him. And negatively, we are to make no provisions for the flesh, doing nothing that would whet our appetite, our sensual desires and appetites. We're not to make plans to gratify our carnal nature, but rather we are to live in ways that are pleasing to Christ as we watch and wait his return. Jesus told us we will not know the hour of his return, but he does not wish us to spend our time in speculation on his return. Instead, he teaches us that we ought to be prepared at all times. The signs are coming together. Jesus is coming. Let's be awake and ready. I'm closing with just two scriptures, 2 Peter and chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So friends, as we are watching, we need to encourage each other to remain faithful, to be alert. See, I need you to help me, and I trust you need me. And that's also a biblical thing, you know, as the day approaches, when our Lord will be coming back and we're to be awake, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We are privileged in this part of the United Kingdom, there are a few good, sound churches that are preaching also on the second coming. Make sure you find one. Because that's a biblical exhortation. May God bless you.